Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another evening of Jay Bird Watching. We're in the midst of literally wrapping up a game as we speak here in Oakland because it's Labor Day here in the States. So there's all these weird, wonderful day games on a Monday off for most people, except apparently if you work at a ballpark. So, on that good note, fellas, how are we doing this afternoon?
Doing okay. Here in Canada, it is also Labor Day, so we do get a long weekend as well. So glad the weather is getting it's getting hot. So maybe it's one of our last hot days before it starts to cool down. But glad to be here.
Yeah, one more day before the kiddiewinks head back to school. So of course you're trying to cram as much crap as you can, organize, declutter, all of that fun stuff. So it's been a weekend of that, and it's my father's 80th birthday. So we're having we're calling it cake and steak tonight.
love perfect. It.
Two of my favorites. We're crushing that tonight.
Sounds like a perfect evening. Meanwhile, I've been painting all weekend and my shoulder is already not working to begin with, but no, keep painting all weekend. That was really good for it.
There you go.
So on that note, guys, we were just talking that this game was getting near wrapping up, and the Blue Jays were tied 3-3, went to extra innings, and now it's 6-5. So two-run blast for somebody on the Oakland A's. I didn't see who hit it, but then again, it's insert name here for the Oakland A's these days. So
apparently it's me, though, Craig. Apparently it's me who hit the home run.
Yeah, so it's becoming a tight one again. So, but Romano's still on the round. He gave up the home run a minute ago, but hopefully he'll be able to lock this down and get everything going. But let's talk the main elephant in the room this week is the fact that the Toronto Bisons are apparently the new catalyst for this Toronto Blue Jays team. And I point to a specific trio in what we've seen from Davis Schneider. Bernie Clement has also came up and done really, really well. And to a certain extent, you can even say Hyunjin Ryu was quote-unquote a Bison who's been part of this part. And then Spencer Horowitz has a ridiculous day the other day, too. So, Jason, kick us off. What are you thinking with all these kids coming up and just destroying all these pitchers? And I can't say it's because of the teams we're playing either.
No, I mean, it's, you know, I think it was fortunate that they did make those moves or some of those moves while they were in Colorado. You know, ball does fly a lot there. And two of those guys, you know, like Spencer Horowitz doesn't hit a lot of home runs, but he barrels a ton of baseballs. And if you want to be in a park where a ball that gets barreled is going to get down and give you some extra sacks, and it's definitely Colorado's a great place to start. Nice to see that he was able to carry it over. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. The home run that he hit is the fifth longest hit by a Jay this year. And it's in the top, it's in the top 15 for total distance of a home run hit this year by any player, which is cool. And if you watch the replay, it's just like I was talking about. Like, he doesn't swing all that hard. He just gets every piece of the barrel on the ball, you know, physics-wise.
Properly.
Yeah, he's a physics, baseball physics, that, you know, dream. You know, not too big, fairly strong, barreled a ball, you know, and you can do as many equations as you want, but I guess he has also hit the most home runs at under 105 exit velo. There's a cool geeky stat for anyone who's scoring at home. But I mean, what can you say? Really, what can you say? Like, it's so interesting to see these guys play so well and see guys like Belt and Springer and just all the other guys around them are being brought up by these guys, these you can't really call them kids very well, but I mean, let's call them kids for lack of a better term. I mean, it's been so refreshing and so much fun to watch. You know, just phenomenal. They're doing a great job in Buffalo. That's all I can say.
Hey, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that, you know what, our development league is actually doing a great job, because to have not just one player start to really pick up the slack and just start to really shine like Schneider, but when you have, like, you had Horowitz and everyone else kind of contributing as well, it shows that we're pulling in the players at the right possible time. Right. So I think that's very important, especially since, you know, like, Bichette's still gone. I think Chapman's still down as well. And then Jansen's now gone. So, you know, hopefully they'll be back soon, but it's nice to know that we have some good players that can kind of pick up the slack and continue our momentum that we have. Because for these next few games, we should be winning, right? I'm happy we're winning now, knock on wood, that we don't lose it, is that we should be beating the Athletics. So, you know, in fact, there's a little bit of drama just trying to close it out. Worries me a little bit, but I know it's nice to hear that our players that we have brought up are trying to shining. Yeah.
And I think it's crazy to the fact that, you know, even in the midst of that too, you also have Kevin Biggio's had a great performance today.
Right. Yeah. Let's not gloss over Schneider either. I mean, this kid it's insane what this guy is doing. It blows my mind.
Blows the mind, period. And I had it in front of me, but then I changed the screen. I was pulling up his stats for what he's done since he came up. He's batting 360, you know, 18 hits, 5 home runs, 16 RBIs, 11 walks, and 17 strikeouts is the more impressive of those numbers, I think, because the fact that he's actually not going up there is trying to run into something. He's going up there looking for something to do damage on, not, you know, he's letting the game come to him is always the mantra, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kensie, and I see you doing the fist pump up there.
Yep. We just ran into a double play. We actually won, so. Game over.
There it is. We actually finally closed this game out with, which oddly enough, was that Kevin Biggio I saw playing shortstop for a second there? Or is it because he was playing third base?
You know, like, we've been always kind of ragging on him throughout the entire season, you know, where he was kind of up and down, up and down. When he's up, we want him to stay up because he's just, you know, that's the Biggio we want to see. We just wish it was more consistent throughout the year.
Yeah. But yeah, to that point, as far as it goes, you know, I think the reason Ken on that is he came up with Bo and Vladdy, and at that time he was one of the big guys too. He was the MVP for the Fisher Cats the year they won the title, you know, back when they were coming up through the minor leagues. So there was just as much hype on him as much as it was too. So go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say the one thing that it does help, I think, for next year is it's showing that the more Biggio plays, the better he is. So, you know, I feel like he becomes a really, really, really tradable asset for next year and allows the Jays to really get creative with what they could potentially be looking for back from Biggio. I also feel like, you know, it's good for him, and it's good going into a potential, you know, this sort of playoff run we're headed, you know, sort of teeth long into right now. You know, you've got the confidence to know that if Biggio has to play 10 games in a row, he's going to get better every single game, you know, as that stretch goes on. So, I mean, it's all positive. You know, I know we kind of, you know, joked at the start of the year when he was struggling, but I mean, he's a good baseball player, and good baseball players will find their way to having good days. And so hopefully he can keep that pumping and rolling while there are the injuries we do have.
Yeah. In the midst of talking Bison's call-ups, doing good here and getting some of our bench players to actually perform too, I do want to make sure I give credit where credit is due to the fact that Santiago Espinal has also been on fire over the last week. He's got 7 hits and only a double, but he's drove in 4 too. But you know, you miss him in this lineup with Bo and everybody gone. You know, it's good to see that he stepped up in that time as well.
Yeah.
To your point, they needed somebody to step up. And I think they got a collective group that stepped up this time instead of waiting for the one person to do something.
And I know they've lost a few, you know, like sort of in between. But do you guys not feel like maybe that the Jays are really starting to hit their stride at, like, this is the perfect time for them to really, and I know they struggled through this game and they struggled the other night to get a win, but I feel like, you know, everybody's sort of pushing forwards right now. Vladdy's playing better. You know, Espy's playing better. Jansen was playing great again until he got, I mean, the guy is just a pinata this year. Like, can't stop getting hit. And
he'll come back being a freaking MVP though.
Yeah, I know. That's well, he gets hit in the hand. He gets hit in the hand and then hits a 460-foot bomb into the California or into the Colorado night. Like, well, his hand's broken, with a broken hand, nonetheless.
Yeah. And so, well, you saw what he did the other day too. There was that, you know, typical Angel Hernandez horrible strike call that was should have been a strike three on him.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then that was right after he almost took one in his ear. And I think that's why he didn't get the call, because that's just Angel Hernandez-isms in a, you know, in a nutshell right there. And then he puts one in the left field seats. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's been very intriguing to see what this team is doing. And Jason, I do agree that I feel like something is cooking. I just don't feel very comfortable with it yet because of what's been going on last week.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I'm trying to be poly positive right now, so
I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm just like going into extra innings against the Oakland A's right now. It's like, come on, why?
You know? Well, I think it's, well, aren't the A's are super hot right now too. And I mean, it's interesting because I didn't get to see the end of the, I could go look probably, but did the Mariners win? They were getting on the board up. Mariner. You know, it's interesting to sort of see how they did lose. Good. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, the races are getting tight and we're going to start to see some craziness. We're going to see some games where, you know, where Texas comes into Oakland and loses two of three. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff that happens right now because the A's are playing with house money. There's a lot of teams that are playing with house money, you know, and don't sleep on the Rays right now. They're quietly turning their season around. You know, things are going to get really interesting over the next 3 weeks. And then after that, it's just bedlam. Like, it's, so I feel like coming in, it's going to be insane.
If you want to get to scoreboard watching here, guys, the Tampa Bay Rays ended up losing to the Red Sox today, 7-3. The Cincinnati Reds beat up on the Seattle Mariners, 1-6-3. The Texas Rangers got destroyed by the Houston Astros at 13-6. And the Texas Rangers also committed two huge errors in that game. So it really doesn't look like they're playing their best baseball right now either. So it's just is what it is, I think, at this point. Right? There's some good baseball to be played here. And the things are falling in the Blue Jays' favor enough that their destiny is actually in their control. And, Ken, yes. I think that's the big mantra for the rest of the season. They have to do their part, and it seems like the rest of the Major League Baseball pieces might fall into place if the Blue Jays do what they need to do here.
Absolutely. It's the only thing that we can control, right? We can't control how the other teams play, right? We have to rely, focus on ourselves. As long as we're doing our part, you know, well, let's, you know, make sure that the other teams don't do as well, or they don't peak, or they peak at the wrong time. So then when we actually play them in the playoffs, they've already gone past their peak and now they're just kind of scratching and clawing again. So, you know, like I said, we're doing it, and we're doing it without some key pieces, which is great. Let's just hope that those key pieces aren't injured during the last few games before the playoff run.
Yeah. And in the midst of that too, I heard Bobichet might have been doing some running and stuff during the interview or the game today and some things like that too. So there might be some good pieces coming back here in the right direction too. I was trying to find it really quickly here if there was anything on update news for the actual injured players, but not finding it really quickly. But to that point, guys, we got Chad Green the other night who's been 50-50, but I'm fine with that. It's still another veteran arm in that bullpen. That's always intriguing. All the right things seem to be going into the right places at the time. And if we get Bichette and Jansen back and Matt Chapman, who is supposedly getting close to, things fall back into place. And if you got these role players like Ernie Clement and Davis Schneider and all them that are doing what they're doing, great. I'm fine with it. It's just starting to wonder who the hell is going to stay with this team.
Well, but if you can, I mean, if you can, for the guys that do stay up, if you can keep them because you have you have two extra spots on the roster for the remainder of the season, do you not at this point?
Correct.
I think there's two extras. So you keep those guys in. And I mean, you can count on the fact that Schneider is a guy that you can drop in, and he's more than likely going to get you. If he's not going to get you a hit, he's almost always going to get on base. And then, you know, then you've got some very interesting choices to make. Like, you know, Horowitz is making it tougher. You know, he is a first baseman, so it is a little bit harder. If you bring him in, he has to play one, basically. So, you know, Vladdy has to DH that day. So there are other pieces of that puzzle that have to come in. Whereas if you're talking about Clement or you're talking about Schneider, those guys can basically slot in anywhere. You can play them in the outfield. You can play them in the infield. So they're nice for a pinch hit. They're nice for a pinch run. They're good. You know, they're just good utility players to keep up. And there's even a few guys down there that haven't even brought up that are doing just as well as those guys were and potentially could be, you know, one piece in, one piece out. And I don't mind that the Jays are trying these guys. Like, I mean, I know the injuries are making it happen, but these are the games where you want to try these guys. Like when you're playing against Oakland and you're playing against Kansas City, if you've got the opportunity to slot a guy in, that's when you do it. You don't do it against the Rays. You don't do it against, you know, anybody that's going to, you know, give you a potential to beat you up. You want to have these guys fun and loose and free and not feeling like if they lose this game today to Oakland that the season's over, right? They've still got a lot of grease under the tires that they can keep going.
It's going to be interesting to see, like if the season ended today, right, and you needed to get a spot back for Bichette and Matt Chapman today, Mason McCoy is the first to go, but that second person right now is a complete wild card from all these names that we were just talking about. There's nothing saying it can't be Kevin Biggio. It can't be Santiago Espinal. Ernie Clement's playing too much right now. I don't know if I can take the hot hand away kind of thing. You know what I mean? There's a very interesting like cocktail of what's going on there.
Yeah, it's crazy, well. Man. I think it speaks to, you see this with other teams too. And this is what we saw with Baltimore last year. As you saw these guys being brought up during the year, guys you'd never heard of, and you're like, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable. Oh my God, this guy's, you know, like, and it just kept bringing out another stud out of there. And it's what formed them into the team that they are now. I mean, like, you know, a couple of years ago, no one knew about any of these guys. Like maybe a handful of, you know, one or two.
But he's nerd.
Yeah. I mean, no one knew how good Gunnar Henderson was though. I mean, you know, like he flew under the radar for a couple of years, and then, I mean, he could be the best third baseman to ever play baseball. He's outrageously good. But
how him and Jackson Holliday get along on that corner side of the infield over the next few years, because I think Jackson Holliday could make the freaking team next year out of spring training.
It's very true.
And having
it's
that good of a true. Time. Yeah. Matt Holliday's son is insanely good. So, but guys, as we continue scoreboard watching, as of the standings currently with what I had laid out, we are literally a half a game out of a wild card spot right now, and the Texas Rangers seem to be the one that's the lame duck all of a sudden. And they are the closest to us in that striking distance piece here. And like I said, they're going to be in Toronto in the near future here. So that's going to be a very, very, very important series to start.
Four games, too.
Yes.
A four-gamer.
And Texas might have to bring it. So I think it was next Tuesday, right? Or not?
Yeah,
it starts on September 11th through the 14th. Starts on the
11th through the 14th. And you've got Bassett, Ryu, Kikuchi, and Gosman throwing. That's a unbelievably important series to at least get to win to, and you have to challenge. Correct. You want to be running these guys through the gauntlet. You want them pitching. Like I watched the start of that Rangers game tonight, and kind of to your point, Craig, I feel like the Rangers, when they don't have control of their own destiny, are in trouble. They seem to panic. They seem to make mistakes. Like Seager led the game off, I think, with a monster home run. And everyone's like, oh, here we go. And then they lose big. And, you know, they're a good baseball team, but they've got mental holes. And if you were going to pick on somebody and really put it on them, though, that four games could be, you know, very, very, very important in watching the Rangers in the taillights, you know, as they fall out of the division.
Yeah, it'd be nice to put the nail right in the coffin right in that series for the Texas Rangers, and then just continue to beat up on the Red Sox the following series and put that next one down too, because that's the nice thing about the schedule, the way it laid out, guys. The two teams that are our biggest, closest wild card competitors outside of like the Houston Astros and obviously I forget who was in first place, but the Rays, you know, we play them too. So all these teams are going to be on our schedule over the next time. And the only series out of those competitors that's away from the Rogers Center is the 22nd through the 24th is it at Tropicana Field, which does hurt a little bit.
And the Yankees, we have to the Yankees right before that
to end the season. Yeah. Correct. We had we end the season in at home against the Rays. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Rays are going to be sitting pretty damn pretty too. How much are they going to really want to just run it out there for that series? It's kind of my guess. They're so far ahead in the wild card, they're going to get that first seed unless something really catastrophic happens over the last week here, or last few weeks here.
Can we just talk about how poorly the end of this schedule is designed for a second? I've just looked ahead. I've looked ahead at it, and this whoever's responsible from this for Major League Baseball needs to be fired. For so shame! Quickly. Like, come on. So on the 19th, they play in New York against the Yankees. They play the 20th. In New York, Yankees, 21st, Yankees. 22nd in Tampa for three. 26th at home, three more against the Yankees. 29th, three more against Tampa. Like,
it seems lazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, really lazy. Like they just assumed that the Yankees and the Rays would be one and two, and the Jays would be three, and that's what the battle would be right now. And it's
put each other against each other.
Super lazy.
Yeah.
Ken, that's what you have a thought.
No, I was just saying boo words. That's all I could say.
Yeah, that's total boo words.
How can you play boo. Like? Oh my god, it's just.
I'll take the Yankees. There's a couple of things that make me really happy in my life. It is the Yankees getting torched by anybody, especially the Jays. That always brings a smile to my face. I also like watching the Calgary Flames get torched, like when they really get a big number put on them. I don't know why. It's invigorating. But, you know, I haven't acquired my hatred yet for the Tampa Rays. And so I'm going to be watching a lot of baseball. And, I mean, you're like, duh, what, Randy Arozarena? You seem like such a nice guy. Boo. Ah. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, who's not to like? I mean, I guess you could talk about Wander Franco. But, I mean, holy, did that guy disappear quick, eh? That story's gone and he's gone. I was actually, it's interesting. I was doing a little reading on the Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher that this happened to a couple of years ago. And same thing. He went back to the DR. He had, real charges pending against him. He paid his way out of it and never was seen again. Like he just doesn't exist. Basically he's somewhere, obviously, but
baseball doesn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And I kind of don't blame him.
No. And you're not going to get on, I don't think, in any other league. And then as a total aside, I don't know if you guys watch the Savannah Bananas or keep up with the Bananas or any of the high drinks that are going on.
I'm watching enough of the YouTube clip.
Hunter Pence is basically playing for the Bananas now. He's there. I don't know if he's moved to I've seen him in like five games now. Johnny Damon is playing for Johnny Damon is playing
like
for
the
Savannah Bananas.
Globetrotters of baseball now.
Yeah. So then the clip I saw last night was the lead singer of, is that the Backstreet Boys? NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, one of the two of them. He sings his own walk-up song and then goes up and hits the, it has his at-bat. Like, I mean, it's the greatest thing. If you guys aren't out there, if you're not checking out the Savannah Bananas, there's something wrong with you, because it is the most fun. You get bonus points if you catch a ball in the outfield and you do a trick shot, you get a bonus point or an extra out or something cool like that. And there's this dude that plays short for the Bananas, and how this guy isn't playing Major League Baseball with his hands. He does like, he'll like catch the ball. You go through his legs backwards into his bare hand and throw the guy out. And you're like, wait a second. Did you just do that? Like, did you just do that in a game? Well, so, I mean, I know it's Harlem Globetrotter stuff, but no one paused the game for a minute so you could do that donkey stuff. And you still threw the guy out. Their center fielder does backflips when he catches the ball. It's nuts.
Yeah. They ended a game like that the other night.
Yeah, sidetrack.
Flipped and caught the ball right before he was like mid-flip. He caught the ball.
That was the other one too. If you run back to second base and pitch from second base, it counts as two outs if you strike the guy out. You can also. There's no bunting, but you can steal first at any time. So the count can be 3-1. The pitch can be low and away, and I can take off for first base. It's so awesome.
It's fun.
So good.
And actually, my dad's going to see him, and I wish he told me. They're going to be in Cooperstown, New York, playing at Doubleday Field here in a few weeks. So
hard to get tickets. Hard to get tickets.
Exactly.
We tried to see them when we were in Vegas, and the guy kind of giggled when I sent a message to say, hey, are there any tickets? He's like, yeah, this has been sold out for eight months. You're funny. Yeah. but it's working. And I mean, I've read some stuff where they're talking about taking this on the road, like even outside of North America. If you guys don't know right now, baseball is exploding in the rest of the world right now. There's a professional league in the Czech Republic. It's apparently it's huge. There's baseball all over Europe, Spain, Denmark.
I saw baseball in Australia when I was there.
Yeah, Australia. Apparently that Australian Pro League is actually starting to churn out players now. Like we're like a 16-year-old. Yeah, it used to
be the weird one, like Liam Hendricks, you would get.
Yeah, right. But now you've got 16-year-olds that maybe from a really big state, like they're from Texas, and so they can't even crack the All Texas team because there's like, you know, 30 million people in Texas or wherever many there are. But they're now going to places like Australia and Europe because they can get on these teams and they can up their performance level. They're just getting more reps, right? They're not sitting on a bench at LSU, never touching the ball. They're going and playing pro ball at 16, 17, 18 years old. They're still going to college and stuff there. But, and to think that you know, narrow-mindedly think that you're not getting as better schooling, I would say, in most cases in Europe and in Australia than in the U.S. You know, I mean, it's...
I don't know what you mean. I have no idea.
I am so smart.
Carlin said it the best. Sam Martin. Just saying. Yeah. George Carlin was famous for saying that they don't want any Americans to be educated. Otherwise, people like certain presidents wouldn't get elected.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but I mean, baseball is, you know, and I deal with this a lot. Like my boys are doing a fall ball with the North Shore Twins. Big shout out to the Twins baseball. It's awesome. It's been so much fun. These guys have pro level coaches for 12-year-old kids, and they are learning so much about how the game goes past your dad coaching you. It's insane. I feel like every single time they come off the field, they're different, better humans. And it's something that's I feel is specific to baseball. I don't know there's any other sport that sort of teaches you quickly how things are going to be if you continue on in the sport. Like, you know, you got to put the field to bed every night. And you know, like if there's weeds down the third base line, then you pull those before you leave the field. You leave it better than when you got there. It's a cool attitude and a cool way to teach your kids how to, you know, sort of become better humans.
Good shit. As we talk to Coach Ken for a minute, and I was like,
yeah.
So guys, I do want to throw it out here because as we talk here, we were just talking about what the schedule is for the Blue Jays. There's 24 games left on the schedule. Ken, your prediction was we were going to need 91 wins to get to the postseason. That's 15 more wins for where we currently sit right now out of those 24 games. Are you feeling we could pull that off? Would be the question.
Well, I'm still optimistic. I'm a half-glass full guy. I think it can be done. Is it going to be easy looking at the last half of the season? No, it's not going to be easy. Is it doable?
Yes. I think that's where I still think they need that number. They need to be around 90, 92 wins, I think, to steal that wild card spot that they're going.
I was just taking a look at it. And if they can win two games basically in every four that are coming up, if they can play 500 baseball through the end, that would put them at 92 wins or so. And probably put them in very good stead as to do that. Now, is that possible? I say yes. I mean, you know, you're probably going to lose a couple more to the Rays than you are anyone else. Maybe. I mean, the Rays have been super hot and cold, but, you know, the Yankees are terrible. So you should be able to get two of those. This Oakland series, you should be able to get all three. I can't see them. I mean, maybe, but you should be able to do it.
They better do what they did in this last 11th inning today, then, if they're going to do that, because the Oakland A's came out of nowhere today and I think surprised them a little bit.
Yeah.
Come on your heels.
And then, I mean, the same thing with the Royals series. Like, you've got to come out swinging. You've got to take control of that series. You've got to take the first game for sure. And then, you know, if you can try and take two the whole way through, which is, that'd be a good t-shirt. But I think it's very doable. They have a tough schedule, but it's very doable to take two every four games.
Yeah. Mr. Cub said that the best, though. Let's play two.
Yeah. Let's play two.
Makes sense.
But yes, so the funny thing is, you had mentioned the Oakland A's and how they've been playing lately, even though they're ironic, they are the one of the only teams in Major League Baseball that's mathematically eliminated at this point already. They're Kansas City Royals being the other.
White Sox?
Washington Nationals. And the Colorado Rockies are the others. Go ahead, Pat.
Not even the White Sox? I thought the White Sox would have been figured out.
No, the White Sox are actually ahead of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, it's going to be in the next day or so if they lose. They're, you know, like I said, there's 20. Did I say 24 games left?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're 23 and a half games behind on the wild card. So they're tipping on the edge right now.
Okay.
So
the Royal
springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Royals have 43 wins. The A's have 42 wins. So they're the bottom of the Central and the AL West. And then the Yankees, this is just to show you the difference between the AL East and everything else. The Yankees are at the bottom of the AL East with 68 wins. Okay? So if they were in the Central,
500.
If they were in the Central, they'd be in second place. If they were in the West, they'd be in third, fourth.
National League West, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
In case you didn't think our division was good. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Now we're taking a few of those divisions when you're not looking at like the craziness that's going on with the Ronald Acuña show in Atlanta and
that Ronald Acuña stuff is getting out of control. Like, he made me go and look up like five or six stats over the weekend just because I was curious about, you know, number of bases stolen in a season, like most stolen in a season, and all these other sort of micro stats that come of what, you know, Ronald Acuña is doing here, which, you know, for lack of a better term, is it's batshit is what it is. It's, you know, bat.
He's the first player in Major League Baseball history to have 30 home runs and 60 stolen bases in a season.
It's nuts. And he's still got 24 games.
Well, the reason you usually have these conversations of why somebody can only be 30-30, like we saw with Jose Canseco when he was a Blue Jay and things like that, is because when you hit home runs, you don't have the opportunity to steal a damn base.
No.
That just shows you how much he gets on base.
It's crazy.
He is doing the Billy Bean model 100%. And he gets on base. He's playing Moneyball. So it's slightly obnoxious what that gentleman is doing in Atlanta, but to that point, that's the best team in baseball, and you can see why.
Has anybody ever had more fun than he's having right now? Like, I mean, come on. He's just having a great time out there.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool that, Canadian Freddie Freeman, I don't know if you all saw this video, but he stole his 60th base against the Dodgers the other night in L.A., after the game, they did a video of Freddie Freeman had the base he stole. He went out, pulled it out of the field, brought it backstage or whatever into the dugouts. And I guess he called the other clubhouse and said, "Hey, Ronald, come over here for a second. I got a present for you." And he presented him with the base.
Yeah.
And he autographed it and took it home with him. I don't know if he sent it to Cooperstown for the first little bit here or what, but he gave it to Ronald Acuna to hold, not to keep. I thought that was a really classy act from a gentleman like Freddie Freeman.
He is a class act. Freddie Freeman's a class act. Adopted Canadian.
Yes.
So, anyways, guys, I want to talk. Like I said, we have the series here coming up, and I lost it. Obviously, we're going to be playing Oakland the next few days. I want to talk to you about how you're feeling going into those last two games of that series, because tomorrow, if it can come up, we have Chris Bassitt on the mound, and then we have Mr. Ryu on the mound. So, Ken, what do you think in the next couple of days in Blue Jay baseball? Are you liking the odds?
Even though
I like the odds lately.
Yes, I like it. I know Bassett's been playing really well. He's one of our best pitchers right now. I think based on the stats that you see, he's like the most winningest pitcher that we have. Aside from Gausman as well. Of course, Gausman's earned. But I'm just thinking that, yeah, we have to really build the momentum for this one. Like, I think, you know, if we can not have to make it, we don't want drama during these next two games. We just want to win it comfortably, you know, give our key players enough time just to get a little bit more rest, to get a little bit more, you know, reps before we bring them back in when we need them. So I'm feeling pretty good so far with Oakland. So let's hope that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, last seven games for Bassitt, he is 3-2 with a 3.5 ERA, and that's for seven starts. So that's pretty good. So, Jason, what are you thinking? I'm actually looking forward to Ryu getting it fully back in form on that really one. He's been pretty lights out.
I mean, he looks great. You know, again, I think this speaks to how the Jays sort of look in general right now. He looks like he's having fun. Like he looks like he's going out there. He's throwing the ball hard. He's getting the calls that he would, you know, in some cases he may not get a call like that, but I feel like the Jays have got it figured out a little bit. They went through a little bit of a stretch there where there was a lot of, you know, sort of looking back at the ump and questioning calls and just sort of generally, you know, questioning what was happening, because you can't say that the umping was great. It wasn't. The umping was garbage for a while there. And still, you know, there's still some guys that don't do a good job. But I feel like even and you know, I think this speaks directly to a guy like Vladdy too. Like you'll see him get a borderline call where he would turn his head around and look at the ump and, you know, kind of shake the dreads and, you know, not to that level, but he, you know, just that sort of disrespect. And then later on in the game, you see another call and you're like, well, that's just because you turned around. Like you can't do that. And so what I feel like, and I feel like Vladdy and George Springer, especially they're asking questions. I don't know, like I'm watching the game and a lot of times when the inning ends, you'll see Springer come running out of the dugout and he'll like sort of make a cut by the umpire. And you can see that they're interacting, like was that ball high? Was that, you know, where, what, you know, what were you thinking? And you can see the, you know, he'd be like, I thought it was high. I thought it was up here. I thought it was out. And he's like, okay. And runs out.
One thing to get feedback is another to be a dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
So, but I do want to mention the fact that Hyunjin Ryu is like, he's only thrown 29 innings as a Blue Jay this year, and he's got a 1.5 ERA. And I think the thing that's the most ridiculous thing is the fact that in those innings, he struck out nearly as many batters as he's pitched innings.
Yeah.
That's not typical Hyunjin Ryu. And I think he had his most recent start was his roughest, and it didn't look like the curveball was moving quite as much as it was the last few starts. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it will be like in the heat in Oakland tomorrow and on Wednesday when he's pitching. So
I maybe think he adjusted well too.
Spring to it.
Correct. Yeah, I think even though he was struggling a bit, I think he adjusted really well to how the ball was not moving. And I think that's been one of Ryu's strongest points since coming back. And I noticed it with Bassitt the other night. He wasn't hitting his spots and he just sort of, okay, I'm going to reset where I put my foot here on the mound even, or where I'm starting my motion from. And it started to work. He was starting to get those calls. And so I feel like the Jays are playing smart baseball right now and they're going to need it because, you know, the some of the teams they've got coming up, you're going to have to outsmart them. You're going to have to out baseball them. You know, they're going to try and out muscle you and do other things like that. And if the Yankees are still, you know, circling the bowl when that comes, I mean, all they're going to try and do is hit home runs. So I mean, if you're smart enough and your pitchers are good enough, you know, and you can induce a bunch of ground balls, those could be some really low numbered games where you're just not getting anything that's hit out of the infield. And we have the staff to do it. Like, I was disappointed in the pitches that Berrios threw to those two home runs today. I mean, why bother? You're playing Oakland. Why bother? Let the guy walk. Who cares? Yeah. Get the next guy, or throw the pitches that you've been getting the ground balls and the strikes on. Don't try and do something that you don't need to do. And he did it twice. That second curveball, I mean, I feel like a kid from my boys' team could have hit that thing out. Like, you know, it's a bad pitch.
That's been Berrios the last couple starts. I think his I can't say ego, but his confidence has been riding so high all season, and you can see why.
Yeah.
But he gets into that count, and he goes, I got this, and then he hangs one, and it's like, shit. Yep. And so
you can see it too.
We're only both solo shots. He was pissed.
the replay, the first look, as soon as it hits the bat, he's like he knew it was gone. And, it's bad. You know, it's, oh, well, whatever.
It's a game of adjustments, just like you said with Ryu, who has apparently adjusted well, seeing he's got exactly 1.0 whip over his last 30 days here in his first month back. And I think it said he had like a 1.89 batting average against him. So it's like, okay, sign me up. That was the best for any Blue Jay pitcher over that time frame too, by the way.
Yeah, and I feel like Gausman, not to go away from Ryu, but I feel like Gausman pitched well. And I feel like we're starting to see some really good things from him. Bassett's been hit or miss. I feel like he's got the potential to really shut. If he can just figure his own noodle out, I think that he can really end this season strong. And it could be a real difference maker. And I think Ryu's in exactly the same category. If he can get his off-speed stuff or his spinning stuff to start spinning right, he's almost untouchable. I mean, he doesn't have good spin right now, and he's still almost untouchable. So imagine if he got those spins going. It looks really good on the Jays for moving into that stretch run.
Yeah. So let's say Matt Chapman returns in the week here, guys, which is what it's starting to sound like. Like I said, there's no official news on it or anything, but they keep having too many positive things for it not to have some, fire to that actual smoke signal going up. Obviously, he's getting back in this lineup, and hopefully he picks up where he left off, where he was actually starting to trend back toward the April-type player that he was, and starting to show some, at least hitting the hard line drives. You hit enough hard line drives, something good will happen. How do you think this lineup's going to look when you start getting those guys back? Because right now, this has been a kind of a weird hodgepodge of fun lately. I think they said we had the 13th or 14th different lineup for the first, like, in the last few months kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't shock me. But what are you thinking? I think we can only get hotter if we get some of these bats back. But,
well, yeah. You know, I mean, we should expect them.
Good spot, right?
Yeah, we're expecting them to pick up where they left off. Now, with Chapman, like, so he's coming off the injury. Like, I'm sorry, when did he get injured?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay. So he dropped a weight. He was in the weight room, and he jammed his finger in between a weight and the rack. And he played on it. He sat out two. He played two, yeah. And then they were like, I think he probably burst the finger open or ripped the finger open again. And that's why they're just like, no, we're just going to let it heal and, he's fine. He can throw the ball. I think he could be out there playing. They just want to make sure that it heals fully.
Need him for the stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need Bat Chapman. That was what they called him, like, the early part of the season. Chapman. So I want that guy back. Right. If you're not going to re-sign Kelly Gruber, like I suggested last week for that fan, who made that comment. I don't know him. I think I heard he's especially handsome. But aside from that.
There it is.
I want Bat Chapman.
Handsome, he says. Me, the Batman. So
yeah, I mean, it's. I feel like there's a lot of moving parts that are gonna, like, Bichette coming back, Chapman coming back. Those two create their own problems, and then you've got you know, the potential of Belt coming back as well. Like, I mean, I think he's probably only going to be out a game or two. But, yeah, you know, obviously Bo goes back to short. Chapman goes to three. You know, I think you probably want to keep Schneider at two. Would be my guess. And then, you know, then Witt plays the outfield. Varsho plays the outfield. Springer plays the outfield. I mean, I don't think you see too much deviance from that. I think probably Horowitz goes back down. And then whether they keep Ernie Clement up or they maybe even try and bring somebody else up who's been doing well just to give them a some reps at the major league level, I think that's probably how things shake out.
I think, unfortunately, Horowitz is going to be the one that goes down, as much as I do love having somebody that's left-handed like him that can come in late in the game and just dump the ball if he needs to. Because I've been kind of comparing him to John Olerud with the style of hitter that he is since I saw him for the first time. He's a lefty that just slaps the ball really damn hard, and he's going to run into enough of them that go over the fence. And just to put that out there, in the last month, he's hit 5 home runs between AAA and the Blue Jays right now. So he has found a home run stroke lately. So you got to ride that a little bit to have some fun, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. But like I said, Mason McCoy, who's scored 2 runs as a pinch runner over the last couple of days, I think is the first to go. But that next person after that, when you, like said, you get back Chapman or Bichette or the alternative there, that's going to be the interesting part here. And I'm honestly wondering, with everything going on, do they maybe take one of the pitchers and send them down?
Could do. Now, somebody brought this up, and I don't know what the actual answer to this is. Is Manoah pitching right now at all?
Not that I've seen. I was actually just seeing him on Twitter, hanging out with kids at the Buffalo Bisons ballpark. I think he's still I think he's technically on the roster right now, but he's not been scheduled to start yet or something stupid like that. I was trying to find it too.
I mean,
I think he's done for the year.
Does no one else think that this is weird,
Mr. Manoah?
Yeah, like, does no one else think that this is odd? Like, he, you know, they brought him back way too fast, and then, you know, that it's, I feel like there's something underlying. I feel like it's
something going on.
And I don't want to disparage or you know, or make stuff up, but I mean, you know, you start to think, is it booze? Is it drugs? Is it, you know, is it something to that effect where they're just, you know, they're like, you need to just gas it for the rest of the season. I would feel terrible if it was, but I mean,
honestly, it feels very similar to what they did with Nate Pearson to me last year.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he was on and off hurt. They got to that point where it's like, well, we could ramp him up, or do you just want to keep him, you know, working on a program and building him up for next year? And that's what they did with Nate Pearson last year. And we saw plenty of positive to that, why that worked out very well. He's still pitching really well in AAA too, by the way. So that's another name that we might see before the end of the season here too, because maybe he figured out that last piece to where we saw Nate Pearson be solid for a month, and then he kind of got into some funk and needed that extra piece out of it, right?
Yeah.
Manoah's in that funk, and he's entrenched in that funk. Whatever they need to do, I say just let him do whatever he needs to do at the end of the year here, and maybe he gets in one or two more starts with the Buffalo Bisons at the end of the year and just moves on. Because the other thing is too, the Bisons in the minor league playoffs start a lot earlier than the baseball hall or the major league baseball levels playoffs. So they're getting close. I think they're within the last 2 weeks of the schedules right now. I'd have to look for the AAA schedule, but it's something like that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I think that it's interesting because I don't look at anybody else's, roster, but just from listening to some of the games, I mean, this is what every team's facing right now. Every team is not fully healthy. Every team is trying to get some guys some action at the major league level. And as the teams get worse, that's where you're seeing it. I mean, they're more than willing to sit a guy to bring a guy up if you're Kansas City. So, I mean, the one positive that you can sort of look at, especially with this KC series coming up, is who knows who's going to be playing third or who's going to be playing short or whatever. I mean, they're willing to take a chance. But again, I haven't looked at any of their rosters, but I mean, you can really have some games where you could be explosive and have some real fireworks based on the fact that you don't have a major league lineup, which is what let's also say that what the Jays have done in the last 10 days with this lineup is stupid. it's they should not be able to do it for a team who doesn't, you know, like when you talk about, oh, who's got the best farm team, who's got the best system, who's got the most studs in the, it, the Jays are hardly ever mentioned in that. We brought everybody up and they were like, okay, now there's nobody. And they're starting to figure out that there's a lot more dudes down there than maybe even Major League Baseball was giving the Jays credit for. I like that we keep getting really surprised by the level of player that's coming up. And I think it speaks to the internal organization of the Jays really doing a good job getting these guys comfortable enough that when they do get the call, it's not, you know, they're not, it's not a Cinderella story. They act like they've been there before. They get up there and, you know, they'll go 2 for 3 and, you know, they're not dancing around on second base. They make it, they look like that was their 20th double of the season in the majors. Right.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, guys.
Go ahead.
My question is, so, you know, you guys were talking earlier, aside from Schneider and the other guys are stepping up and we're going to be getting our regulars coming back soon. But I guess hypothetically, I'm just going to throw it out there. What if Horowitz, Clement, and all these guys that we're expecting, that we're glad they're filling in the holes, but what if they're holding your Schneider where they're actually performing? Do you still bring them out, or do you kind of let them run until they start to normalize and then you put our go-to guys there, right? It's almost like if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, we are, you know, our guys that were waiting to come back, we are paying them a lot more money as well, right? So is it worth keeping them on the bench if these young upstarts here are just killing it and producing for us? What are your thoughts?
I'm all for the hot hand at the end of the day. And I'm sorry to say, if Matt Chapman comes out and plays two stinkers right off the bat, I might be giving him a day off and seeing what these kids can do for one more day and see whether I can play with it. But you got to give your all-star guys a chance to come back and do what they were doing. And we had mentioned a minute ago, Chapman was trending at the plate back in the right direction. And I'm sorry to say, I don't care what the hell that play that Kevin Biggio dove for today at third base. I don't want Kevin Biggio playing third base.
No, you don't. So. I mean, I think that, you know, I agree with you about the hot hand. The problem with baseball is that has never been the case. When a guy is healthy and they come back, he just goes right back into the lineup. It doesn't matter if he's hitting 125. He goes back in because he's earned that spot. And it's one of the probably one of the most deflating things about baseball. I had a friend who had a kid in the Orioles organization, and he played first base. And I mean, Chris Davis was going nowhere. Like, that guy had one of the richest, longest contracts there was. And so he knew Chris Davis would have to get hit by a bus for him to even get a sniff. And he played a couple of years in their just below their major league team, you know, you can try and reinvent yourself and move over to third or move out to the outfield or anything like that. But the problem with baseball, and this is kind of, you know, we're starting to see changes in this. We're starting to see teams take a chance on somebody and leave them there. And like Craig was saying, follow that hot hand, but it's few and far between. Like, if you're, you know, if you're in the Jays system and Springer goes down and you go up and you do well, when George Springer comes back, he tips his cap to you and says, thanks, buddy. Enjoy the flight back to Buffalo. You know, like there's no question for some players that they're going back into the lineup, and it sucks. But I mean, there's been lots of times where dudes come up and you're like, who is this guy? And then you never see them again. And you're like, how's that even possible? Like, how can somebody catch lightning in a bottle for that amount of time? And then they're gone forever. And then you're like, oh, there he is. He turned up on the Milwaukee Brewers 2 years later. And you're like, I remember that guy. He was good. I liked him. And, you know,
exactly.
Because I'm, you know, I can only really follow the Jays. I try to dig in on other teams. And when I like a guy, I try and make sure I keep my eye on him if I can. But like, even there's a guy who played for the Seas. His name is Damiano Palmageria. He's from Surrey, BC. And we watched him a number of times play for the Canadians. And I guess he's up with the Jays right now and crushing it, which, you know, is awesome. I mean, that's what you want, is you want these guys to move through the system and be successful. But I mean, you know, is Schneider going to be, you know, next year, is Schneider going to be as good as Schneider is? I mean, who knows? He's
the kind of guy I
so
take a bet
hot
on
right now.
That would be the difference. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the work ethic that I would take it a plot. If you had to make me a bet, I wouldn't bet against Schneider at all right now.
Right.
So
yeah. What I love about him is also his fans love wearing the mustache in the stands. Those are my favorites.
Yep. So
stash players.
I guess that's So I guess that's kind of to the point, guys, unless there's any topics you want to bring up before we do Picks to Click.
As long as did Ken win again? Oh, I wasn't here. No, I wasn't here. I was here. I'm
hoping not, because we carried over his Davis Schneider pick. So
who are the others?
So last week I had Ernie Clement. You had Whit Merrifield. Ken had Davis Schneider. And we had Vladdy for the guest pick last week. So
Jesus. Who wins it? Ernie Clement?
I think I have to, because here's this point. I'm just going to drop this out here, because this is the week that Ernie Clement had. He got into 22 at-bats. He got into 6 games, as we were talking about. So that's the whole slate of games for the Blue Jays over the last week. He scored 4 runs, 9 hits, a triple, a home run, and 5 RBIs. You're 409. That was the most hits of any Blue Jay last week.
Okay, well, here, I've got some... Now, Whit Merrifield may not have done, you know, like he may not have made the line, but
he had the third most hits last week.
Yeah, I'm just looking. He hit 400 in his last 10 games. He's hit 400. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He has 10 hits in his last 10 games.
Yeah. So all those Blue Jays out of our Picks to Click last week had at least 6 hits in the games last week.
Jeez Louise.
Davis Schneider being the lowest on that, but he had, you know, 4 of those 6 hits were for extra bases.
Crazy. I don't know. I don't know who gets this one. I mean, I need a win here.
Yeah. I don't know what to do on this one. Like I said, there's enough things that
we may have to burn this
like
one.
I said that. I might have to, but
maybe
we'll put it up on the poll and see what happens with everybody.
All right. Unfortunately,
I don't think Vladdy makes it.
Yeah, dude, put it up there. Let's see.
Oh, here, I'll be this person, and you guys tell me. I'll share my screen here, because this is the last week in Toronto Blue Jays baseball. And yeah, like I said, it's not terribly blatant, but no matter any way I slice it, my guy, Ernie Clement here, is me going with my hometown boy here. He ends up being on the top of most of the things, except for the home runs. He is tied with Davis Schneider, because Davis Schneider's right here. 5 RBIs. Like I said, 4 extra base hits, but then you got 5 RBIs for Clement, 2 extra base hits, 9 hits versus 6 hits. Whit Merrifield's in the dead middle of the two of them with 8 hits, 2 extra bases.
I think it's a no win.
But he stole some bases.
So it's like a draw.
We put it up on the poll and we see what the Googleverse, the interwebs.
There you go.
Interwebs.
Trusted the interwebs.
Either that or everyone gets a point. So we all get a win on that day.
Participation. I'd rather have the internet tear us apart for a week.
No one wins. There we go.
No one wins. You all suck.
Let me tell you why I suck. So on that note, seeing Ken wasn't here last week, I'm going to let him pick first then. So, Ken, what are you thinking?
Ooh, okay. So I don't want to pick.
Vladdy would be off the board because we don't have a guest this week. So, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to pick someone that I haven't picked in a while, but I've actually been happy with the way he's been performing lately. I mean, he's okay, but I think we'll go with the Maple Leaf this time.
There it is, Mr. Kirk.
Well, he's going to play. He'll play every game.
Yep.
Yes, because they're going to want to keep Tyler Heineman out of as many games as they possibly can.
Yep.
He'll definitely play one of those games with 6 games in a row the next few days, though, or a couple of them maybe, but he won't stay in the whole game probably. Mr. Lyons, what are you thinking?
I'm gonna go somewhere where I feel like I haven't gone all year, maybe once all year. I am going to take Dalton Varsho. Because I think Varsho is going to have a big week. I was going to maybe go back to backs with Whit because he's going back to KC, but I'm sticking with the Varsho.
There we go.
Varsho show.
Yeah, you've only picked him once, and it was like in the seventh week of the season.
Yeah, and I regretted it ever since.
So, being the person that I am going to ride Ernie Clement. See, I didn't technically win. I can carry him over, right?
Yeah.
I thought about picking Clement. I was like, no, I don't want to. I know you guys said last time because I was like, oh, pick someone else who you haven't thought of that, see their last few games and that they're just going to repeat it the following week. Just try to pick someone else. So I was like, okay.
I normally wouldn't do that, Ken, but right now with the way he's been playing, I can't argue with that. And he is from Rochester, New York, where I happen to be from. So I'm gonna ride the hometown hero for the time being.
There you go.
As long as the Jays win,
where I currently live and where I used to.
Yeah.
As long as the Jays are winning, I don't really care who all the different players individually win. I'm like, as long as the team wins, I'm happy.
Yep. So on that note, I think Ken and I agreed before the game that I'm going to be up in Toronto with him somewhere in the ballpark. So if anybody wants to direct message us to the Birdwatching GC, maybe we can hang out and have a beer. All are welcome. And then I will be joining I won't be in the show, but I'm going to be there hanging out with the fans and everybody from the Walk-Off podcast, and Craig Ballard of the Locked On Jays podcast are hosting a bit called Baseball Town at the Comedy Bar in Toronto. It's going to be Sunday evening, the 10th. Same day I'll be at the ball game with Ken, and that's on Danforth Avenue. So if you happen to be down there, and go get those tickets and join a bunch of Blue Jays cohorts and podcasters and apparently a few players. Only confirmed one right now is Jay Jackson's going to be there, but... Ooh. Jay Jackson's a fun guy, so that'll be fun.
I'm disappointed I have to miss it. I will be there in spirit.
There we go.
We'll get you there on some point, man.
Yeah, I know.
I said, as soon as you tell us when you're coming, I'll make sure I get to the ball game.
Yeah, me too. I think that we're looking at a couple of different options for possibly trying to get out that way. So
thank Ken's there tuned. Already, kind of, and I'm only three and a half hours away, so it can be due.
Yeah, it can be due.
You're done.
Anyways, well, thank you very much, Blue Jays fans. Thank you for the few comments we got in the comments section this evening. And we'll talk to you next Monday. And we'll be, like I said, it'll be a day after we happen to be at the ball game. So that'll be more fun and goofing around to share. And obviously, if you miss our live shows here on YouTube or wherever you happen to be watching it from, make sure you get wherever you can listen to your podcasts and pleasures from. We are Jay Bird Watching, the official podcast of fanside.com, jaysjournal.com. And about that it. We'll see you next Monday. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's go, Blue Jays. Woo!
Ellie Goober, Mookie Wilson.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.